Hello and welcome to the Social, the Power of Relationships podcast. I am Josh.
And I'm Jason.
And today we are going to be talking about working the room. I'm going to read a quote from this chapter. The chapter in the book we're referencing is called Social, the Power of Relationships, hence the title of the podcast.
Right.
It was written by my good friend Jason here, and it is just fantastic. And we will make that available to you all in the show notes and on our website as well. So, but I'm going to start with a quote that you used in this chapter that I just loved. Okay, so this is from Shannon L. Alder. It says, when you give yourself permission to communicate what matters to you in every situation, you will have peace despite rejection or disapproval. Putting a voice to your soul helps you to let go of the negative energy of fear and regret. Whoa. Boom. I love that. That is just perfect.
Yeah, it is a great quote. And it leads us great into the idea of working the room.
Okay, so what is working the room?
Working the room is basically making friends and influencing people in a social setting. So imagine, we're going to give you an example now of walking into a room for the first time. You don't know anybody there. Mm. And there's two approaches that you can take. You can take it as an introvert or an extrovert, because the thought process of these two types of beings is completely different.
Okay.
An extrovert thinks more on the lines of, where's the party? I'm going to have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really think a lot.
They're comfortable in the setting.
They're super comfortable in the setting, and they just go about doing and being.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest place to start, actually, when you're working the room is the introvert approach. So we should actually talk about that first.
Okay.
Because most people, if they're coming into for the first time and they don't know anyone there, they tend to have those low energy, reserved feelings coming through them. They're a little shy.
Right.
Whether they are outgoing and rambunctious, like extroverts are known to be, when they're for the first time, that's it's hard to get into that
you beat. Kind of have that introvert energy.
That's right. So the best, when I come from a introverted side, so when I walk into a room, the first thing I always do is look for someone who is at the same level of energy that I'm at, emotional energy. I analyze myself as like, how am I feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
Am I feeling excited? Am I feeling shy? Am I feeling scared?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm feeling scared, which is normally the case, mm-hmm. I will start with the other people in the room that are that same way. So I'll look around, normally around the walls and the corners.
Yeah.
If it's a big room and a lot of people, that tends to be where the wallflowers hang out. So I'll go over there and talk to someone who is looking a little shy, a little scared, and strike up a conversation with them. And they're the easiest person to start with, because first of all, they're going to be so grateful that you actually took the time to say hi to them, because they are so scared themselves they couldn't do it.
Right.
So no matter what you do and say, they're going to be grateful no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, because that's relieving for you, because it's hard enough to open up your mouth, or at least for me. When I strike up a conversation with them, I always start with the basic things of like, so what do you like to spend your time with? What do you love? Why are you here? What are you looking for? You know, like the basic things. Nice weather today, right?
Something to connect with.
Yeah, the fluff. Now, what's really great about the fluff, people tend to get angry, or not angry, but annoyed with the, I'm saying, what do you call this type of conversation? It's a...
like small talk?
Small talk. Okay. Yeah. I hear a lot that people don't like small talk, but small talk is so crucial to building that rapport,
right?
Because that doesn't really matter what you're talking about. It's all about the emotions you're sending across.
Yeah.
And that's what small talk is there for, is to build that that connection between you and the energy, understanding where their energy is at, where your energy, like, are they happy? Are they grateful to be there? Are you happy? Are you grateful to be there? Is that something that you connect with? Are they not happy? What's going through their mind? Is there some way that you can help them feel more comfortable in this setting? And you find all these different things through the small talk and how they respond to you, their body language.
Yeah.
And when you can then finally establish that, then you can start to get deeper into other conversations of like, what is it that they're most passionate about? Uh-huh. I tend to jump the gun and go straight into that a lot of times. But you've established that you've talked to someone, you've welcomed them to the group. And by just doing that, you've now welcomed yourself to the group and you've built your confidence. Right. You are no longer thinking about yourself. You're thinking about this person, which means that your energy is a lot positive. Your energy is growing.
Right.
And then from there, you can reach out to someone else. You can even invite this person to come along with you and you can start building a circle around you.
Mm.
So you start looking for other people who are now at the same emotional energy that you're at. And you just continue to do that. As an introvert, you're focusing on just one-on-one conversations.
Right, okay.
Now, this is where the extrovert kind shines, is when they've initiated that first response with a couple of people,
mm-hmm.
and they've built their enthusiasm. Now they're looking for other people who can match their enthusiasm.
Okay.
Any
so
thoughts?
You're finding you're essential. We do this naturally as human beings, right? We mm-hmm. we gauge the energy of other people. I think you talked about the mirror neurons mm-hmm. in the brain that basically recognize how another person is feeling in a setting and relay that back to our brain so that we can interpret it and understand. And we just naturally kind of get a sense for how somebody else is feeling. And I think I recently, this last week, learned about empaths who basically are people who are kind of hypersensitive to this, like who are really, and there are other people who are not quite as good at it, right? But I think in general, people kind of get a sense or a feeling for how other people are feeling. And so you kind of look for people who you feel comfortable toward or around. And that's going to tell you, be an indication for the people who are on the same kind of energy level as you.
That's right.
Right. And so, like, you know, if you're feeling a little more timid or scared, looking around the edges, you might find other people who you look and say, you know, I feel comfortable about that person. I feel like I could go and make a connection with them. And that's probably because they're feeling similarly to you.
Mm-hmm. When you find someone else that meets your enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
then basically it's another extrovert. Then you start to build your energy. You get more excited and more passionate about what you're talking about. And then you start acting out the stories that you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
And you gather people around you because other people are there to be entertained majority of the time. In most groups, people are there to connect with other people, but to be entertained as well.
Yeah.
And they follow the most entertaining thing in the room. And that's how extroverts connect with other people. They don't really connect with them one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
They connect with them through the empathy waves and through their body language because they're so excited and so passionate about whatever they're talking about. Everybody else feels that same passion about whatever it is. And they have this connection with that person.
You feel the energy of the room.
Exactly.
Because all the energy of the room is focused on them and they kind of feed off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of comedians have talked about when you're in the room and you're just on your game and you can feel the energy of the room. They say there's nothing like it. I'm not a comedian because I'm not that funny, but I can
say.
But it is a remarkable thing that you could stand up there and just to make an entire room laugh. Like they just say, I mean, because that way you're feeling. But you also get the other side of it where mm-hmm. they're just the jokes aren't landing, And so you're feeling a different energy and you're not connecting with that energy, and it can be a negative experience. But I think that illustrates your point that an extrovert often will feed off of the energy of the room and the other people, less so on a one-on-one. Whereas I'm an introvert, and so I feed just heavily off of a one-on-one connection about about deep things or about value things that I value, that they value, or even just about making another person feel valued is something I value, and that gives me a lot of energy. So
yeah, you and I are on the same lines there.
Yeah. And so we there are different ways that we might connect. And neither one I think is wrong or right. It's just, it's a lot of it is personality.
Exactly. There is no wrong or right way of doing this except for being too scared to try. Mm. And being too scared to make those mistakes and getting out there.
Which is what we do. And I do that a lot. You know, I'm too scared to put myself out there quite often, you know. But it's something, you know, I'm aware of and I'm working on. But but that's, I think, that's a common problem in our society. We're very scared of each other.
Yeah.
You know, because we're afraid of, we get our value from what other people think about us. And we're worried that they're going to devalue us, that they're going to judge us as not being enough.
I've spent years trying to build the courage to actually make this podcast, to write this book, and to share what I know.
Yeah,
it's hard to get over that fear of that criticism.
Yeah,
and really just being grateful for your own value.
Yeah,
and because as soon as you can come from that location of, I know what I have is of value, and someone's going to appreciate it.
And I'm
going to find that person.
Yeah, and what another person thinks, any of these other people in this group, whatever they think is irrelevant as far as my feelings of self-worth. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to affect the way that I feel about myself. But I can gain something from them, and they can gain something from me.
Yes.
And so you're kind of, that connection allows you to have a give and take and have a valuable experience.
That's absolutely right.
So what are the kinds of things that we should talk about with other people as we meet new people? And what are the things that we should avoid talking about?
A very good question. So there's, most of all, is our values. Like knowing what you love to talk about, knowing what you love in general, is a great place to start. Okay. And when you know what the audience or the group that you're going to values, then that's always also the connection that you start with.
So you talk about the things that are focused on in that specific setting a little bit. Hey, did you like that talk that we just listened to? Or did you like
the game that you played? Or how was, I'm trying to think of some other social settings, because last week we talked about Magic the Gathering card game events or board game events. Yeah. We also have like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, that genre. Or Comic-Con is a great place to start where you're showing up. Oh man, Comic-Con is like the most coolest place to really socialize, because everyone is there to just celebrate
something
that they love.
Yeah.
And what's also amazing is their dress. People dress the part.
They're
what they love.
Passionate about it.
Very passionate. Yeah. And you can see all that passion on from the booths to the people just walking around. And people love it when you stop them and take a picture of what they're wearing.
Yeah,
they're like, man, I think whatever you're wearing today is amazing. That is a great Spider-Man costume. Can I take a picture with you? And they're like, yes.
Yeah.
And then you get the conversation going of like, how did you, what episode was your favorite or comic, you know, or it's just like,
you're building on that common value.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah.
And that can be like anywhere though. I mean, even just a class at school. Hey, did you understand the assignment today? Well, you know what the teacher was talking about? You know, whatever, like, you know.
Or you're walking down the hall and go, man, I love those shoes.
Sure,
where'd you get them?
Yeah.
It's all about finding something that you value and connecting with that person.
Interesting.
With that.
Yeah.
And that's what I always look for too, of when I'm finding someone, or I see someone that I appreciate in some form or another, I always try to show that appreciation by saying thank you, whether it was something they said or what they're wearing that day or how they are presenting themselves.
There's this quote that I really like that says, if you see something beautiful in someone, speak it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't generally because we're afraid, we don't want to. And I don't enough, but everyone loves to have a compliment because a lot of times we're really hard on ourselves.
That's right.
And we're really critical of ourselves. And if somebody else comes up with an opposing view and says, I love this thing about you. Wow, that's valuable.
And you just made their day.
Right, yeah. And I find a good approach is learning how to ask questions of people. Because one thing that people value is themselves. I'm not saying that as a selfish thing. Mm-hmm. We're insecure or we need to be valued. We need to be appreciated. We need to be respected. And so when you can ask somebody and show interest in them as a person, that's a value you can both share right there immediately,
Mm-hmm.
Even just asking somebody's name and then building from that point or building, where are they from or what do they like to do, like you mentioned before, then you can start to discover some values that they have and build on those.
That's right. Now, there's a few conversation types that we should mention before we end this podcast. So when you're having a conversation, the best place to start and to basically stay in is what you value, what you love to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I've come across different people who either like to debate a topic, or they just rant about what happened miserable that week for them. And these two types of conversations are the pitfalls to your social life.
Mm.
It's hard. When I'm connecting with these people, I want to just turn around and tell them, hey, this isn't the way you're going to connect with me. But you can't. I don't know. One day I might be able to be tactful enough that I can do that. But that's why we have this podcast, so we can talk about this now. So we'll first talk about debating.
Yeah.
So there's a good way to debate a conversation and not a good way to debate a conversation.
Okay.
The good way to debate with someone is to, if the place that you're going is all about debate, then all means go by the rules of the debate. Mm-hmm. That's there.
If you're actually at a debate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if this is just a social setting and you're trying to connect with someone and you naturally like to debate with them,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to point out all the flaws in their argument. You're only going to strike up an aggression and negative emotions from them. You want to first point out what is it that you like about their argument, what you can agree on,
mm-hmm.
and then pose the questions of, now this is something that I see a little different, and then you go mm-hmm. into that part of the conversation.
So could it be like a difference of debate rather, or of discussion rather than debate?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a differentiating component there that's like a debate tends to be you are trying to prove the other person wrong
mm-hmm.
or that you were right, and there's a competitiveness there that basically is rooted in pride that says, I'm better than you.
It could be.
Whereas a discussion is an honest conversation about trying to find truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it fosters learning, and it fosters growth, and it can foster connection. And you can disagree with someone else, and that's perfectly fine. But
you want to disagree with them with the idea of at least letting them know where you can agree on.
Yeah.
Because if you're constantly always disagreeing with them, they're going to eventually get angry, or they're going to start just feeling negative towards you, and they'll start to avoid you at one point just because there's nothing you can agree on. Your values don't line up with their values.
Right.
So they're going to start to avoid you at one point.
Right.
That's the natural inclination that we have as human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a negative experience and we just don't really we're not interested in those.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're not interested in negative experiences most of the time.
Yeah,
we may get, in the future, we'll get further into that of like negative experiences and why they can be a good thing.
Sure.
But today's not the day.
Yeah.
the other conversation is also sharing your woes about life.
Yeah.
Now, coming across, and I admit I've had days where I've just ranted about how miserable I am.
Sure.
And we do need those days sometimes, you know. But those conversations are best with people that are close to us.
Yeah.
And that we can still turn around and say thank you for listening and still
right.
give a value back to them in some way. Because when you're talking about how miserable you are, how life sucks, and sharing all the stories about how your boyfriend broke up with you and how you gave him or her the finger. And,
uh-huh.
and like, I mean, this is a conversation that I had with someone recently.
Where okay.
They just started going on about all the guys they were struggling with, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was really sad for me because I couldn't connect with that.
Mm. Now, this is an interesting topic because I think that I think it's complex a little bit because there is great value in my opinion. I think that there is great value in empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a way to be empathetic to people that are having a hard time with whatever it might be, and connecting with them on that, even if we don't understand it or haven't experienced it personally. But there also is, I understand your point. I think I think what I would say is like the differentiating factor would be vulnerability versus like anger or something like that. Because I think sometimes people, they get bitter about their negative experience or by their
about
negative
life,
experiences,
yeah.
which is, we all kind of do that at some point or another. And so then, but then oftentimes that just, you know, spazzes out at all times with everybody, and they're constantly complaining about this or that or whatever. And those create negative energies. But whereas vulnerability is about an honesty, so they might be in pain, and they might be expressing that. But I think that there's a level of softness in the way that they're expressing their feelings. That I think allows for us to feel compassion for,
mm-hmm.
And to feel a connection with somebody like that, even if we don't understand. So I think, but to your point, I think that there's a great value in kind of picking and choosing who you're sharing those things with.
Yeah, right.
And making sure. And Brené Brown in her book Daring Greatly talks about basically not oversharing.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the relationship you have developed with a specific person. If you just barely met somebody and you talk about how awful you feel and how miserable your life is and it sucks and stuff, it's harder to make that empathetic connection because they don't feel a trust level with you and you don't have a trust level with them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, anyway.
That's
so that's
very
a,
true.
That's a tricky one for me because I think there's... It gets kind of complex.
Oh yeah, and it's definitely very challenging to handle that situation on both sides because it's important to talk about those things that you're struggling with to get it out.
Yeah,
you have to remember to show your gratitude for the listener though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're not telling them thank you for listening, and promising them that you'll be more positive next time, then they're going to start to avoid you. Because that's just naturally what we feel.
Mm.
Like we all want to feel loved, respected, and we want to feel that positive energy.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about how miserable we are, we're not giving that positive energy. We're giving negative energy.
Yeah.
And that negative energy can connect with other people who are feeling the same way.
Yeah.
So that is definitely something that you can empathize with and connect through. If you're always in that negative state and that's all you talk about, then that's also all you're going to find in your life.
True, yeah.
And that's the only type of people you're going to connect with as well, is other people who think and feel and talk about those same things.
Right.
So life is always going to be miserable.
See, why does this keep happening to me? Well, we're kind of perpetuating it. by not processing it and letting it go.
And then talking about things that you value.
Yeah.
And showing that gratitude that for the listener of like, after you've shared what you're struggling with, then change talk about it for give yourself a time limit of, okay, I'm going to talk about how sad today was for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to stop and say thank you to that person and then start talking about what I love. And if you don't know what you love, then you need to start searching for it. Keep a journal and start writing down what is it that you're grateful for.
Yeah, a gratitude journal.
That way you can share it with the people that you come across.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an inexact science, I think, in this one, because it's important for us to not repress our feelings and to actually feel them and allow and be empathetic with ourselves and compassionate with ourselves, allow us to ourselves to feel those negative emotions, but then to allow ourselves to let them go as well and to shift our focus, because shifting our focus shifts our feelings and it can help us to start to feel and experience life in a different way.
And we've gone a little over today,
but I think
that's perfect.
That's very valuable. It's a great conversation.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's so much more we can talk about, because there's also the other side of how do you handle someone who is struggling through negative experiences in their life? How do you show your empathy and share value with them so they feel valued and then nicely let them go so you can then focus on some other people to connect with and raise your energy.
Yeah.
In fact, we should probably talk about that in the next episode.
Okay, yeah, we can.
So let's do that.
Let's do that.
All right, guys, thanks for listening so much.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to be with you today. And hopefully this conversation has been helpful to you.
Yes, and if you haven't already, please leave a comment. What do you call that thing on iTunes? My brain just froze.
Oh, man.
Testimonial?
Well, it's like...
You guys know what we're talking about, right? Go to iTunes.
A review.
Leave us a review. Thank you so much. And like us on Facebook and look us up. Our website is socialthepowerofrelationships.com. Yep. Thanks so much.
Thank you.